Lord God in heaven, we do believe, as you've taught us, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We pray that you will let us hear this Word with the understanding the Holy Spirit gives us. Give us grace to believe this, and the whole Word. Give us grace to trust in Jesus Christ and to sincerely repent of all our sins. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 John 2, 12 through 14, page 642 in the Pew Bible. 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14, page 642, and let us give our whole attention, or as much as we can muster, to God's holy word. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you're strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. And thus we end the reading of God's holy word. Maybe today you have come to church, those of you who have been here for the past few weeks, and maybe you're a little bit aggravated with John or me. Maybe you're a little bit aggravated with John because he has been hammering you about obedience and keeping the commandments over and over again. And maybe you're getting tired of hearing that. And maybe you're getting tired of, well, me, my saying it. Well, guess what? Today there's good news. Today there's relief from all this hammering as the Apostle John gives us encouragement. We must obey. We must obey the commandments. We show our love to God by obeying. We show evidence of our conversion by obeying. John is right to repeat over and over again, keep the commandments. But sometimes it does get tiring. And now he's come to give us some relief. We can only obey through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can only obey imperfectly in this life, as we sin many times even after our conversion. But nevertheless, as the Holy Spirit works in the Christian, we obey more and more, and we put sin to death more and more, as God the Holy Spirit sanctifies us after we receive this new life in Christ. He changes us. He changes the way we think, the way we behave, and the way we speak. John now turns to encourage us after admonishing us. Here's what we are as Christians. In my text for this morning, here are some of the things Christ has done for us as Christians in verses 12 through 14. John writes by the Holy Spirit about our spiritual estate. You see, there were some heretics around Ephesus at this time who were saying to the Christian readers to whom John wrote, "You're not really Christians. You don't have the knowledge we have after all. And after all, knowledge is everything. And your knowledge is not what it should be, because we have this secret knowledge that you don't have, and you won't have it unless you come into our cult. Does that sound familiar? There are a lot of cults in America these days. John, however, writes to tell them you do know him. You are believers. You are saved. I do not doubt your salvation. He is not writing all these things about obedience to imply that they are not Christians. He is writing all these things about obedience and the commandments so that they can improve upon their showing their evidence that they are in Jesus Christ. But now he pauses. Now he pauses to give them encouragement in these verses. We preachers need to build each other up, not be jealous of each other, not be opposed to one another. Every Christian needs to do the same. Anytime two people get together, there's a temptation for jealousy. That other person has something you don't have. You have something that other person doesn't have. And it's human nature for us to be jealous, envious. But we should be encouraging one another. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us a positive word through the Apostle John. Notice how this text is set out in the Scripture. In many translations, it's set out as poetry. And you'll see that there are two cycles of encouragement in this text of Scripture. First, he addresses children, fathers, and young men. And then he addresses children, fathers, and young men again. So today we have these two cycles of encouragement to obedient Christians. You'll see the outline, which I just gave you, on the back page of the bulletin. It's not too complicated this time. First of all, encouragement cycle number one. Verse 12, I write to you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. John addresses little children. Some scholars believe that John calls all his readers little children and then divides them into two groups, fathers and young men. Others believe that John simply addresses three different groups. And that's the interpretation I am following this morning. But it really doesn't matter so much, because all of these things happen to all Christians eventually, if they live long enough. So what he is saying here applies to us all. But he addresses first, in this first cycle, little children. Little children. Who are these little children? Little children are the ones who have been forgiven, even new converts. No. That they have been forgiven. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. God forgives those who repent. Sure, I believe that. Don't you? Don't you believe that? But how many times do we wallow in our guilt? How many times do we who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ go back to our guilt? You see, God is not like a human being. God doesn't say, I forgive you, and then treat you like he didn't. God forgives completely. Even the little children, even the new converts, even those who are not so mature spiritually know that they are forgiven. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of our need to have that sin eradicated. He convicts us to be sorry for our sin, to hate our sin. He gives us the power to turn from our sin and turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. And God forgives. If you are a forgiven Christian, if you have sincerely repented of your sins and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will no longer hold those sins against you. God's wrath will no longer be upon you because of those sins that are forgiven. God will remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Do you know how far that is? It's immeasurable. Do you believe it? Sometimes we live like we don't. Sometimes we live like guilty pagans. And we are not pagans. You see? What a relief. Remember the feeling at first? What a relief to know your sins are forgiven. As Psalm 32 explains, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. What a blessed experience. What a blessed truth. It's the truth of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John says, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 12. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You notice he didn't say, your sins are forgiven you for your name's sake. His name's sake. For the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom, that is Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. God does not forgive you because you're good. God doesn't forgive you because you've done so much good, you've made up for the wrong you did previously. God forgives you for the sake of Jesus, the only saving name. Christ paid for our sins through his perfect obedience and his mighty suffering on the cross of Calvary. And his resurrection from the dead. Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake, not yours. This is one of the benefits of knowing Christ. This is one of the benefits of being a Christian. Your sins are forgiven. That burden has been rolled away from you. You no longer have to carry that burden. So why do you? Why do you still feel guilty when Jesus Christ paid for every one of your sins? You're forgiven. Do you accept it? Do you believe it? God does not lie. I've been known to, and you have too. But God doesn't. Accept it and be free from guilt. And then John has a word for the fathers. How appropriate. I don't preach Father's Day sermons. And look at this. Fathers, in verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. These are the more mature ones in the congregation. They don't have to be the older ones, but usually they are. Usually a lot of the fathers are older ones, aren't they, in Christian congregations? These are the ones who have had, no, I was going to say who have had more experience. They haven't had more experience. They have squeezed out of those experiences more grace than some of the others have. They have studied the Word more diligently than some of the others have. They have repented of their sins more deeply than some others. By the power of the Spirit, they've done a lot of good works and helped a lot of people along the way. These are the fathers. They have known him who is from the beginning. What do you know? This is what the heretics were asking. What do you know? And the fathers knew him who was from the beginning. And who was from the beginning? The first verse of the epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Jesus Christ. The fathers knew the eternal word, Jesus Christ, very well. The fathers know him very well. They have been very close to him, in most cases, for many years. They have a lot to teach the rest of us. They know him who is from the beginning. They know him who is the image of the invisible God. They know him who is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians who were reborn yesterday know Jesus Christ. The fathers know Jesus Christ and know him well. They have an intimate relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They talk to him. They hear him speaking through this book. They live with him day by day. They know him. John does not doubt his reader's standing before God. If you truly believe you are a sinner, if you truly repent of your sins, if you truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know him. And then there's a word for the young men. In verse 13, I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. The young men. These are the ones who have begun to mature in the faith and they're strong. They can carry maybe the majority of the church's work because of their position, because of their circumstances, because of their situation. They have overcome the wicked one. They have resisted his temptations. They have some maturity in the faith and they're strong. John will later write to these readers in chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They have overcome by the power of Christ. They have overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit, Satan. Have you been resisting him in your temptations? Or do you frankly enjoy them too much? Have you been resisting the devil and saying no? If you have, he will flee from you. And you have overcome him and you know what that's like. Have you been resisting Him or avoiding sin by avoiding the opportunity? Sometimes you can avoid the opportunity. You can't always. But sometimes you can avoid the opportunity. See these two things here? You can do this. You can block these two eyes. Or you can do this. You can turn them another way. And you can do that with your ears. You see? Have you done that? Have you resisted and overcome the wicked one? Well, that's the first cycle of encouragement. I guess I made it more into exhortation, didn't I? Excuse me. But there's some encouragement mixed in there. Second cycle begins at the end of verse 13. Little children, again. I write to you, little children, because you've known the Father. I write to you, little children, because you've known the Father. There's a different word in the Greek text here for little children, but it is synonymous. Little children. Here we're moving up a little bit to school age children, but they're still little children. So there's a slight difference in the word that's used here as opposed to the previous word for little children. You know that. It's not a big difference. But notice also, well, you won't notice it in our version, but in some versions, the tense of the verb here is have written, past or aorist tense. I have written to you in some translations. And then the two verbs to follow in verse 14 are have written to you. Why John changes tense here is not really known for sure by scholars. But we do know that he is saying some of the same things. He is also in the second cycle going a little further. So even though we don't know exactly why he changed tense, we know he's doing some repetition. We do know that. Little children, you have known the Father. I know that you have known the Father. Even the young ones in the congregations, even the young ones who are believers, have known the Father. And the covenant children are getting to know the Father, and their parents have taught them the Father. You have known Him. You have become, by God's grace, His child, His spiritual child. It seems that many people today don't know who their parents were. Many more don't know who their father was. I have seen so many movies, stories, TV shows in which one of the plot lines is, who's the father? I just don't even want to see it anymore. And yet it happened. And the children cannot help it. But one thing we know, as Christians, we know who the Heavenly Father is. And that's most important. He adopted us into His spiritual family. And again, I have a quote from Calvin here. I was just thinking this week. Do you think you'll be quoted 500 years after your death? Probably not. I don't think I'll be quoted 1 year after my death. But here's another one from Calvin. We are all like orphans until we reach the grace of adoption by the gospel. We are all like orphans until we reach the grace of adoption by the gospel. How true. Spiritual orphans. And God takes us into His family What a joy it is to know that God is our Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father has, that we should be called the children of God. How do you want to be remembered? If you get famous, people will ask you that. I've been pretending I'm famous recently, since I'm facing my retirement. I've been pretending I'm famous and pretending that someone would ask me, how do you want to be remembered? So I have an answer ready. What about this one? I want to be remembered as a child of God. What about that one? Oh, I did this. I did that. See these buildings? See these converts? I'm a child of the King. They know the Father. You know the Father. Non-Christians don't call Him Father. Non-Christians call Him God or something else. But you call Him Father because you're His child and He brought you into His family. And you know your Father cares for you. You know He provides for your needs. You know He sent His Son to die for you and give you everlasting life. And all the rest is a bonus. If He gave you everlasting life, all the rest is a bonus. Have you ever thought about that? I need to think about it more. Not only does He provide for you the things you need, one of the things you need is discipline. And He provides that for you as well. Because He's your Father. And then John addresses for the second time the fathers in verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. You've known Him, you fathers who have maturity. You've known the eternal Christ. He's saying the same thing this time. But don't forget it. He reminds you so you won't forget it. You've known Jesus Christ, the eternal Christ. You're responsible to Him. He's your Lord. And then He addresses the young man. In verse 14, I've written to you, young men, because you're strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So He expands on what He said before to the young man. He says, yes, you overcame the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. But He adds, you are strong. I mentioned that before, but it's not in the text before. Because you're strong, and the Word of God abides in you. You're strong and vigorous. And how does one get strong and vigorous physically? By eating the right foods, those veggies and fruits, more and more. You know, I think it used to be like 2 servings a day, and now we're up to 11. I don't know what it's going to be before I leave this earth. But I have a feeling it's going to be more. You eat the right kind of things, and you what? And you exercise your muscles. Is that not true for a healthy body? And then, of course, you stop smoking and drinking to excess. These young Christians are strong spiritually. And how do you suppose they got there? Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians 6:10. Their strength is from the Lord. We get strength from the Lord, from His Word. The Word of God abides in you, He says. It abides. It stays there. It lives there. It just doesn't make a fleeting visit It came there and it came to stay. That word abides in you. You receive the nourishment of God's word and you get stronger. Have you ever known a Christian who thought hearing the preaching of the word was optional? You ever known a Christian that thought that? Well, let's see. It's 8 o'clock Sunday morning. Sunday school begins at 10. Worship at 11. Had a late night. Oh, by the way, I shouldn't have had a late night because I know what the Lord's day is, don't I? Had a late night. Not feeling too well. A little tired. Need a little extra sleep. I think I'll sleep in this morning. I'll be there next Sunday. Have you ever known a Christian who thinks the worship of God, the public worship of God, is optional? And the hearing of the word is optional? Have you? Well, I've known some who act that way. They probably would deny it if you asked them. Have you ever known a person who thought food was optional for physical strength? The word of God's grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Acts 20:32. That's Acts 20:32. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Feed on the word and then do what it says. Our good shepherd feeds us in fresh green pastures. But if we don't come into the presence of the good shepherd, we don't get fed. And if we don't take what we get fed and exercise our spiritual lives with it, we weaken. We weaken further and further and further. It only takes a little time for your muscles to get weak. Those of you who have had surgery know that. It's surprising how weak your muscles get. 10 years ago, I was learning to walk again after surgery. I was down so long, I was learning to walk again. I didn't use them. I was flat on my back. That's what happens. It happens so fast. And the first time I was introduced to the steps, I thought, oh no, I can't lift my foot. And I had to say, right foot forward, left foot forward. Yeah. You don't want to deteriorate spiritually. It's hard to get built back up. You don't want to lose ground. You see. Do you read all of God's word? Or just your favorite parts? Or are you a random reader? You know, I need help today. I've got this serious problem. I'm really down. I'm really blue. And you open up the Bible at random and start reading. You know why that helps sometimes? That helps sometimes because the Word of God is so consistent in its message. But the way it really helps you is when you read it one or two books at a time straight through. You wouldn't pick up a novel and start in the middle. You wouldn't pick up a biography and read the last chapter. You see? The whole counsel of God. Your diet needs to be diverse. You've overcome the wicked one. This was said before. He repeats it. But now we see the weapon that is so helpful in fighting off Satan as Jesus used it when Satan tempted him. It was in his heart. It was in the heart of Jesus. The more the word dwells in you, it becomes a part of you. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Does the word of God abide in you? And there we have the second cycle of encouragement. So here, in verses 12 through 14, John gives us some relief from the urgent exhortation to obey, although I've been exhorting you anyway. He still says a lot of good things about you. He still tells you blessings that Christ has given you. He is still saying, look at what has happened to you. You know the Father. You know the Eternal One, Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. The Word of God abides in you. You've overcome the wicked one. But if you are not a Christian, none of these things apply to you. And if you are not a Christian, you will need, like all of us, to repent of your sins and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw this picture in an office recently. It made an impression on me. But after I was out, I couldn't remember it. I could remember the picture, but not the caption. So, fortunately for you, I had to go back to that office because this time I took notes. And the picture was of a little cat, small cat, looking in a mirror. And the reflection that the small cat saw in the mirror was a huge, ferocious lion. Small cat, big lion. Cat, seeing lion, right? Now, in the 21st century, what do you think the caption would be? You probably could tell me, but I'm going to tell you and see if you got it right. Remember, it's the 21st century. What matters most is how you see yourself. Yeah, that's right. What matters most, it said, is how you see yourself. John's here to tell us that what matters most, it's how God sees us. And God sees us as sinners, either lost or saved. He sees us either as His children or not His children. And John writes to encourage these Christians. Know yourself. You are weak and lost without the Lord. But with him, you're a child of the King. Thanks be to our Father in heaven, who grants to His people everlasting life in Jesus Christ, keeps us in His grace, and at the last day will take us home forever. Amen. Let us pray.